newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching the York flocks by night. Presiding, under shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions be afar. Seek the great Star of nations, ye have seen his natal star. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment, but I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this short confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in his stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Your throne is established. From of old you are from everlasting. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen.
Thy decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high.
Peace, goodwill toward men.
We praise thee. We bless thee,
we worship thee,
we glorify thee,
we give thanks to thee for thy great glory.
O Lord God,
Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty,
O Lord, the only begotten Son,
Jesus Christ,
O Lord God,
Lamb of God,
Son of the Father,
that takest away the sin of the world,
have mercy upon us.
Thou that takest away the sin of the world,
receive our prayer.
Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father,
have mercy upon us.
For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord,
thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost,
art most high in the glory of God the Father.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created in us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature, grant that we may ever be alive in thee, who made himself to be like unto us, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson for the first Sunday after Christmas is written in the 11th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the first verse. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. The epistle lesson is written in the fourth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia, beginning at the first verse. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, and He is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way also we, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah! The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Hallelujah! Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the second chapter of St. Luke, beginning at the 22nd verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification according to the Torah of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the Torah of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Spirit of God was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is to be opposed. And a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, so that thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was advanced in years, and having lived with her husband 7 years, from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting with prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds,
God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate, ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Heavenly Father's throne is born an infant small, and in a manger poor and lone lies in a humble stall, lies in a humble stall. He veils in flesh his part divine, servants form to take. In want and lowliness must find who heaven and earth did make. Who heaven and earth did make. He nestles at his mother's breast, receives her tender care. Whom angels hail with joy most blessed, King David's royal heir, King David's royal heir. 'Tis he who in these latter days from Judah's tribe should come, by whom the Father would upraise the church's Christendom, the church's Christendom. A wondrous change which he does make, takes our flesh and blood, and he conceals for sinners' sake the majesty of God, the majesty of God. He serves that I, the Lord, should make indeed. Could Jesus love and do? To help me in my need. He opens us in the door of paradise today. The angel guards the gate no more. To God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So in the heritage of many peoples, there appears the theme of a watchman. The watchman who expresses his joy upon being released from the task to which he was assigned to watch for. So Aeschylus, in his Agamemnon, the sentinel rejoices at his release from watching for the signal indicating the capture of Troy. But Simeon's canticle, the Nuctaminis, is very different in the sense that here the watchman combines the last words of the aged and dying. The latter supplies the note of departure in peace, right? The goal of all of us, that when we die, because we all will one day die, that we'll leave this world in peace. We see this in Genesis 15:15, where God says unto Abraham, "Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age." Yes, this was God's promise to Abraham that he would depart in peace, that his death would be a peaceful one. Later, Jacob, or as God later renames him, Yisrael, he says something very similar when he finds that Joseph, the son of his beloved wife Rachel, that he thought was dead for so long, he finally realizes that Joseph is alive. In Genesis 46:30, he says, "Now I'm willing to die, for I have seen your face. I am willing to depart in peace, for I have seen your face." How amazing it is, isn't it? That now here in the Nuctaminis, Simeon, the great prophet, shows up at the time he sees Messiah, and he's very emphatic. He says, now he is seeing the thing that the ancients only looked for. And this "now" here in the Greek expresses a sense of felt fulfillment of promise. This parallel is with Jacob. Israel has all the more force because the Hebrews long speculated at what time that they would see their Messiah. And for many, many generations, they yearn to see God's salvation. And now Simeon sees that salvation. He's looking right at it. Yes, it reminds us of Genesis 49:18, where Jacob says, "I have waited for your salvation, O God." And isn't that true for us, as it was for the Hebrews? We are awaiting God's salvation. We long for it. Yes, and yet it's so easily to identify for St. Simeon, to whom it had been revealed to him that he would not die or not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah, the Christ. And we long for the same gift. We do, because we live in a world that's so unfulfilling, a world that promises us so much and delivers so little, that leaves our mouth always with sawdust and ashes, but it promises so many wonderful things. Right, and for some of you this morning, probably your mouths are a bit dry as well, being New Year's Day. You know who you are. But yet, God tells us that we will receive his fulfillment. That's, in fact, Simeon is the one who sees what Isaiah foretold when he said, "Console, console, perikalein, my people, says your God. Speak, priest, to the heart of Jerusalem that her time of humiliation has ended." Yes, and also in the Greek form of Isaiah, he says that also this same message will have glory for the Gentiles. And thus Simeon, as he takes up the baby Jesus in his arms, his words reflect a sense of fulfillment, which is very understandable because, like I said, the Jews in the first century, the Hebrews in the first century, were speculating on what the Messiah would look like and when he would appear. In fact, one of the most popular religious texts at the time that's not actually part of the scriptures, called the Psalms of Solomon, talked about how blessed are they who will exist in the days of good fortune of Israel, and which God will bring to pass, alluding to the time when the Messiah will appear. And Jesus reinforces this very same idea when he says in Luke 10:23 and 24, "Fortunate are the eyes that see what you see, and the ears which hear what you hear. For I tell you, many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and did not see it." And yet, why is Simeon so joyful when he holds the baby Jesus? Isn't it obvious? because in his arms, still probably wrapped in swaddling clothes, is the author and perfecter of our faith, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who shall reign forever, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, the one who will one day from his cross declare that our sins are finished. Yes, the prophets were given little glimpses of this, but now Simeon holds the reality in his arms and sees this in the child of Mary. He sees what the prophets only glimpsed when they declared in Psalm 72:7, in his days, the Messiah's days, may uprightness flourish and abundant peace. Or as Zechariah says in chapter 8, how the Messiah, when he comes, will sow peace. The sense is just like a farmer sows seed. Therefore, Simeon will now depart in peace, not because he has finished his task as a watchman, but because God has completed his task by speaking his word, a promise which God has fulfilled. And that's really what Lutherans believe about worship, and that's what Lutherans believe about theology. That's the reason why we're different from so many other forms of Christianity, because we rejoice in what God does for us here in this place. We come here to receive God's gifts and to be served by him. That's the reason why the word for glory in Greek becomes in German Hauptgottesdienst or Gottesdienst, that which God does for us, the God's service unto us. Sadly, too many Christians don't understand this. They think that they have to come to church because it's a duty rather than coming to church to receive the gifts that Christ has for us here. Yes, we watch like Simeon, we do, and God fulfills his word to us just as he did to Simeon. And what does Christ bring us? Well, what did the angels declare in Luke 2:14 as the shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night, that there is peace on earth and God's favor upon those whom he is well pleased. And Simeon is one so favored, and so are we. So are we. Yes, we are. It's interesting that the early Christian community associated God's giving of peace, his shalom, his irene, with the resurrection. Isn't that interesting? And yet, what is really Jesus' conception, in a sense, but in a very real way, sort of a resurrection, where God takes sinful fallen flesh from the virgin's womb and causes his own only begotten son to be incarnated in that flesh, so that that flesh of Mary becomes also the Messiah's own possession. It becomes him, so that the Messiah becomes both God and man. And in the birth, we see in the arms of Simeon, we see man as he was meant to be, Adam as he was meant to be before he ate of the forbidden fruit of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. Yes, now comes Jesus, the baby Jesus, a second Adam, who will, on his Easter resurrection from the grave after his death upon the cross on our behalf, open the gates of heaven, so that like the hymn we just sang, the angel no longer guards the door, but heaven, the gates are open to us. And that happens in the incarnation and is completed at the cross and certified in the resurrection. And every Sunday is the reason why, and every Sunday in the canon of the Mass, the canon of the historic service of the church, which is the service that we practice here at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fairhope, Alabama, we sing with Simeon the Nunc Dimittis. In fact, one of the reasons why I love the historic liturgy, one of the reasons why I've defended it every chance I get, is because to get rid of the historic liturgy, you lose the Nunc Dimittis often. And that's a loss to the church that we would be less for losing it. Because the Nunc Dimittis tells us very important things. For instance, Simeon sings of a light to the Gentiles. Think about that, a light to the Gentiles. See, the ancient Christians called baptism enlightenment. Did you know that? Enlightenment? So an ancient Christian met another ancient Christian. They say, when were you enlightened? When did you receive the light of Christ in holy baptism? When did Christ, who is the light of the world, who is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, when did he bring you into himself? Like a vine is grafted, like a branch is grafted into a vine. Also in Psalm 18:28, God declares, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness, which is what happens to us in baptism when we are born again of the of water and the Spirit, and the old passes away and everything becomes new. It's the reason why we keep keep water in that font to remind you every time you go to communion that you were born again in baptism, that you are a new creation in Christ. And then what does he go on to say? Simeon goes on to say that he calls about the glory of thy people Israel, the doxa of thy people Israel. And doxa is the Greek word for liturgy, for worship. In Latin, it's translated as liturgia, and in English, liturgy. And like I said before, in German, Gottesdienst, that which God does unto us, which is why we're here. And sadly, so few Christians, even Christians today, understand this. If they did, they would be here no matter what they did the night before. No matter what they would come, no matter what the hardship, because they would not want to miss out on the gifts of God's forgiveness and mercy that are found here and that are given to you by grace, that are unearned. They would, but sadly they do not know. Yes, God's true worship is enabled by the worship of God's true Son, and where he comes to us in flesh to redeem us both our bodies and our souls from our sins. And as I said, that happens first in the waters of holy baptism, where we are enlightened into Christ and our sins are washed away and we are born again of water and the Spirit. Yes, and like Israel, that was born again by crossing the Red Sea, which is the reason why Luther includes it in his baptismal liturgy, so we too are born again and are made a new creation. We are joined to the second Adam in baptism. And then again, Simeon says, the glory of thy people, Israel. You see, because in baptism, we become part of Israel. We enter into the glory of thy people, Israel. We enter into Israel. Yes, and as Israel, we are redeemed, not with the manna that fell upon Israel in the desert, but rather we are nourished with the manna of Holy Communion that is given to us Christians to eat and drink so that we might know and receive and taste the forgiveness of our sins, and also see our Redeemer as he comes to us under the veils of bread and under the veils of wine, so that when we come to Holy Communion, we are literally receiving the same thing that Simeon did when he held the baby in his arms. We are seeing our Redeemer. We are seeing the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And after we see that, we can walk out of this sanctuary and we can depart in peace, according to the word of our God. In the name of Jesus, amen.